The mortality rate for patients with primary amoebic meningoencephalitis, or PAM, is very high at 98% to 99%. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, of the 128 known cases in the United States since 1962, only one patient has survived, and there is also one documented survivor in Mexico. That makes Callie Hardig's recovery pretty rare. Dr. Mark Hewlett at Arkansas Children's Hospital is part of her care team.
She is now breathing on her own. She is no longer on any oxygen. She is off of the medicines we were giving her to induce her coma, and she has woken up some. She is responding to some questions. She cannot speak right now because her throat is so sore, but she is making head nods and thumbs up signs in response to questions.
Dr. Hewlett says her throat is so sore because the tube that was placed in it while she was on a breathing machine for 2 weeks caused swelling in her vocal cords, making it difficult to speak. The next step for her is rehabilitation, which Hewlett says will likely take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks.
It's going to be a while for her brain to completely recover from this. We still do not know how much will recover, but the fact that she's able to answer questions and respond to things is a very good prognostic sign for her.
Dr. Hewlett says the disease is caused by a type of amoeba that lives in warm water, and it's more common in southern states since lakes and ponds get warmer in our region.
When you go swimming into a lake or a pond and you kick up the dirt, that dirt will then kick up these organisms and they'll get into the water.
The organism can then enter the nose and come up into the brain through an area called the cribriform plate.
It invades into the brain and the brain swells, and then the swelling becomes so severe that we can't control it.
But Dr. Hewlett says it's important to note that the disease is very rare.
Millions of people swim in lakes every day, and they don't get this. There's only like 128 reported cases, so it's extremely rare. We do not know why certain types of patients get it and others don't.
Hewlett says it may be that the cribriform plate in some people has a defect, allowing the parasite to more easily spread into the brain. Dr. Mubashir Ahmed, who's also part of Callie Hardig's care team at Arkansas Children's Hospital, says he thinks it was a quick and accurate diagnosis and very aggressive treatment that helped her recover. Also, the use of the latest available drugs, including a cancer drug from Europe not currently approved in the United States, that the hospital obtained through the CDC.
I think those factors are kind of what led to her potentially having a different outcome than the other patients.
Callie Hardig came to the ER with severe headaches and neck pain. Dr. Ahmed says it's a more tricky infection to diagnose because when patients come in, doctors often think it's bacterial meningitis.
And amoebic meningitis or meningoencephalitis tends to be lower on the scale just because it's so rare.
Ahmed and his colleagues continue to enter uncharted territory in this case, and Callie's survival will be used to dictate where things go.
Because it's so rare, there is no guideline to follow, and you kind of go off on how she's doing, how the brain swelling is doing. I think we just look at the overall picture rather than have some algorithm that's been set out from previous cases.
As far as taking measures to try to prevent getting the disease, Dr. Jennifer Cope with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says,
the only 100% sure way to avoid this or prevent this infection is to avoid swimming in warm freshwater lakes, ponds, and rivers. But we realize that's not something, you know, we don't want to discourage swimming. Swimming's a healthy and fun activity.
But Dr. Cope says there are some measures people can take to help reduce their risk.
And those include holding your nose shut, using nose clips, or just keeping your head above the water when you take part in water-related activities in warm, fresh water. Also, avoid putting your head under the water in hot springs and other untreated thermal waters. Avoid water-related activities in warm freshwater during periods of high water temperature and low water levels.
Cope also recommends trying to avoid digging in or stirring up the sediment in shallow freshwater areas. And then there's the issue of nasal irrigators, known as neti pots. They look like little teapots, and many people use them to rinse the nasal cavities to help with allergies, sinus problems, and colds. There were two cases in Louisiana in 2011 where neti pots were used with water that was not sterile, and it led to the fatal infection.
We don't think that people should just stop using them altogether, but we do want people to understand that tap water is not sterile, and so when you're using tap water in sensitive areas of the body like the nasal cavity, that you should consider what your water source is. And so we recommend that you use water that's either been previously boiled and then left to cool, or water that's been filtered using a filter that specifies that it's an absolute pore size of 1 micron or smaller.
Orcope says buy water with a label that specifies that it is distilled or sterile. As for Callie Hardick's future, Dr. Hewlett remains optimistic.
The fact that we've gotten to the point where the swelling has been reversed and she's showing signs of improvement shows that she most likely will survive this and do very well.
Since Willow Springs Water Park in Little Rock is the most likely source of Hardick's infection, and another case of the same rare parasite was reported there in 2010, the Arkansas Department of Health has asked the owner to close the water park to ensure the health and safety of the public. Karen Trigo-Stewart, KUAR News.